Good morning, and welcome to the FirstGroup plc Quarter Three Interim Management Statement. Today, I'm pleased to present Jeff Carr. For this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. I'll now hand you over to Jeff.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Jeff Carr, Group Finance Director, and with me today is Rachel Borthwick, our Corporate Communications Director. I'm going to run through a short commentary on the trading statement, which we issued this morning, and following that, we'll go straight into a question-and-answer session. So, in summary, overall, the group continues to trade in line with expectations. We remain on track to deliver our earnings and cash targets. The team remains focused on delivering £200 million of cost reductions, which obviously are critical as we look to mitigate the impact of higher fuel costs this year and the effect of the recession. Now, on fuel, as you'll recall, our hedge position for 2009-10 is around £100 million higher than last year, and that's a position which will reverse next year. In terms of cash, we remain on course to generate about £100 million of free cash in the current year, which obviously will be applied to reduce our net debt position. So looking at each of the operations in turn, and let me start with UK Bus. In the period, like-for-like passenger revenues grew by just under 1%, and the recent weekly trends are pretty encouraging in terms of showing signs of stability in that area. Albeit this has been interrupted in the recent quarter, in the last couple of weeks, by the difficult weather conditions across the UK. However, despite that, we do expect like-for-like passenger growth for the full year to remain unchanged to the guidance we gave in November, which is around 1-2% of growth for the full year. Again, as discussed in November, in response to some reducing demand, we've continued to take a little bit of mileage out of the system. We've continued this process in the current period, and we're currently running at around 5% less mileage than last year. Now, this action and the benefit of our cost reduction program means that we now expect to see a positive trend in our UK bus margins in the second half of the year. Now, during the period, we have seen some industrial action in our UK bus operation. However, we have made some good progress, and in key areas such as South Yorkshire, Leeds and Manchester, we've now agreed pay deals. Generally, these are two-year deals with pretty much holding wages at zero this year, with around 2-2.5% for next year. At the moment, the discussions are now focused on London, and we're hopeful for a resolution in that area in the next few weeks. Now, in terms of other news, as expected last week, the OFT decided to refer the UK bus industry to the Competition Commission. Now, we don't feel this is justified, and actually do regret the cost and resources which will now be expended over the next couple of years by the whole industry in addressing the issues raised. And these are issues that we believe could be dealt with within the existing regulatory framework and the Local Transport Act. This is a highly competitive market, and I think over the next couple of years in the course of the inquiry that will be able to demonstrate that. Now, moving on to UK Rail, passenger growth, like-for-like passenger growth on UK Rail was around 1.7% in the period. And again, we're encouraged by not just the revenue performance, but also the cost performance in UK Rail. But again, quarter three results are pretty much free of weather issues, but there has been a little bit of an impact, although not material, in the first 2 weeks of quarter four. During the quarter, and with the exception of Hull Trains, which obviously is a relatively small operation, all our operating companies showed positive revenue growth, with First Great Western being up just under 1%. In terms of highlighting specific areas, on First TransPennine and Express, our Anglo-Scottish services have been particularly strong, delivering double-digit growth in the period, and as a result, we've been adding new services between Manchester Airport and Edinburgh and Glasgow. The revenue support structure continues to provide substantial insulation from the effects of the recession. And as you know, the contractual revenue support mechanisms are providing 80% support for First Great Western and First Capital Connect. And we continue to make good progress in reducing costs as we look to make sure that our addressable cost base is as lean and efficient as possible. During the period, PPM performance has remained high across most of the network, with First Great Western running over 90%, and the key exception has been First Capital Connect, where PPM has been impacted by industrial action in relation to the rest day working practices, which has obviously coincided with the pay negotiations. Now, I'm happy to say that we are moving towards a resolution in this area, and as of yesterday, we had a positive ballot with our Capital Connect drivers voting in favour of accepting our pay award, and I hope that services will get back to the standards we expect on that line fairly shortly. Now, moving on to talk about our North American contract business, revenues in that area at constant currency was up slightly in the period, 0.7% versus last year. Now, as discussed in November, the core student contract revenues remain resilient, and for the second half, student revenues will be broadly in line with last year. However, as we stated in November, we have seen a reduction in the growth of discretionary areas of spend, such as school trips and charters in the new school year, which has resulted from the continued budgetary pressures faced by many of the school boards. Our experience of that market, of the North American bus market, does indicate that we will not see a return to organic growth until we see some economic recovery in North America. Notwithstanding the recessionary impact on discretionary revenue, though, we do fundamentally believe in the medium term that there are significant opportunities in this market, and we are pursuing new business aggressively in the current bid season for the next school year. In transit, we've been winning new contracts, and we've won contracts recently to provide transit management services in San Diego and Portland, Oregon. And First Vehicle Services has won a new contract, a significant contract for them, to provide fleet maintenance services in Florida. Despite the challenges of the current trading environment, we expect our US dollar margins for the contract business to be broadly in line with last year. And in the context of the current trading environment, I do believe this is a credible performance, albeit slightly down on previous expectations. Now, moving on to Greyhound. Greyhound revenues continue to track in line with our forecasts and expectations, which are slowly recovering from the low points of last summer. Our full-year expectations haven't changed. As we said at the half-year in November, we expect for the full-year passenger revenues to be down around 14% versus last year. In this most recent quarter, which included Thanksgiving and Christmas, trading was in line with where we expected, down about 11%. However, revenue per mile is now showing a positive position versus last year. And in the current quarter, quarter four, for the U.S., we're seeing passenger revenue trading now broadly in line with last year. So we continue to see good trends in that area. During the period, we've been making some good progress in our negotiation with the Canadian provinces as we look to secure mileage reductions and or financial support in that area. As a result of the recovering top line, our rapid actions to reduce mileage, and good overall progress on cost reductions at Greyhound, we now expect Greyhound's full-year margins to be ahead of our previous expectations and forecasts. We're optimistic that the changes to the business model position at Greyhound, Greyhound is well positioned to take advantage of the future economic upturn. And during what's been a difficult year for Greyhound, we feel that we've demonstrated that the business model can be managed and continue to drive improved performance. Now, in terms of the outlook, in summary, just let me say that the current weather conditions have had an impact on some of our businesses, not least here in the UK, for UK bus and rail. However, our employees are rising to the occasion to ensure that we keep the operations running, and I don't see this impact as being material on the group results. Therefore, the group does remain on course to achieve its earnings and cash targets for the year. Now, I'll finish there and just open up the session to questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. You will enter a queue, and after you are announced, you may ask your question. If you find your question has been answered before it is your turn to speak, you may press 02 on your telephone keypad to cancel. And our first question comes from Jamie Rowbotham of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Morning, Jeff. Morning, Rachel.
Morning.
First question to kick off, and then a couple of follow-ups, if I may. Jeff, it's clear from the statement that there's an upgrade at Greyhound, but management's expectations at the group level are unchanged. Presumably, there's an offsetting downgrade elsewhere. It sounds like it's in the contract-based business, which you just said is down a bit on previous expectations. Can you clarify that's the case, and please expand on what's driving that?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, I am a little disappointed that the margin improvement that we were looking to get out of the North American business, the contract business, hasn't come through. However, you have to put it in context with the current trading year, and the fact is that the revenues are going to be pretty much in line with last year. We now say operating profit and operating profit margins are going to be pretty much in line with last year, which I think in the context of the current position with the school boards is a pretty good performance. Since September, I've been over to the States a few times, and I feel comfortable with this guidance. I think it's realistic. The change isn't in the revenue performance. Revenues have remained pretty much in line with where we were talking about in November, and that's in line with, you know, our discussions. The change is really being a bit more realistic about the expectations on cost performance. We are delivering good cost savings in North America. However, with the background of the increase in the fuel costs, with some increases in labor taxes in SUTA in North America, some of the wage claims coming through in the new school year, which are running higher than we'd like, I think we have to just pull back a little bit on the cost expectations. And we've done that, and coming down to the guidance that we're now given, that we said that operating profit would be in line with last year. I still think there's a lot of opportunity going forward in North America to look at the cost base and to proactively improve that, improve efficiency. But I think this is a realistic position to be in for this year.
Thanks. Just on that point on wage claims running higher, I mean, given 10% unemployment in the U.S., labor cost pressure seems a bit counterintuitive. Can you expand a bit on that kind of anomaly?
Well, we're not talking about significant increases. We're talking about fairly low-level awards. However, we're not getting zero away in the U.S. We're getting very little opportunity to improve on our contract pricing, and so therefore when I guess it's around about 60% of our cost base is in salaries in North America, even a 1 or 2% increase is significant, and we're seeing increases come through. You know, it varies, they're all negotiated locally and it varies by contract, but we have been seeing increases coming through at 2 and 2.5%. And again, that's ahead of where we'd like them to be. It's ahead of where we're coming out in the UK. As I mentioned, UK bus is, for this year, pretty much coming out at 0%. But clearly, you know, that's the situation we're in. We're going to have to deal with that and continue to drive efficiencies in terms of our labor costs in North America. So we have projects in place, which we've talked about in the past, such as the Focus project, which is based on GPS tracking of the buses and hour reporting,
yep,
which we think will drive efficiency out of the system. But again, that's a project which has taken a little longer than we expected to implement.
Thanks. Just two more then quickly. The comment of no return to growth in school bus, is there still an extent to which First Group will be upping and outing lower margin contracts, or is that all done now and this is purely a reflection of the market? And final question, Jeff, after that, I think in December you planned to sit down with the board this month to reaffirm First Group's sort of targets for the year. Just wondered if that's happened and if there are any key takeaways, anything key to come out of that. Thanks.
Yeah, I think on the up and out of projects, the key actions following the Laidlaw acquisition are pretty much all done. However, that is, you know, managing the mix of contracts. We have 1,500 contracts, roughly 1,500 contracts. A reasonable proportion of them come up for bid each year, and managing that mix of contracts is a normal ongoing part of the process. In terms of the growth for next year, what we're saying is we don't see the sort of charter and supplementary revenues coming back next year. I think things are still going to be very tight in the US. However, we will be aggressive bidding for new work. So we will bid for new contracts. We will look to, and we're in the middle of that bidding season. It's very early. It's a bit, not really the middle. It's early in that bidding season for next year. And we will be aggressive bidding for new contracts for next year. So there is still growth opportunities, but I think it's right at this stage to be cautious about the future in terms of 2010. Just in terms of the balance sheet and the work we did to the board, yeah, we have been through a process of talking capital structure. The board is comfortable where we're at and with our plans. I think the purpose of that was to get the right balance between debt reduction and growth plans for the next certainly for the next 18 to 24 months. I think we can beat the plans that we've put out in terms of debt reduction. We've talked about £100 million for next year. I think there's opportunities, and we demonstrated to the board where the opportunities are to improve on that, to improve our, you know, if we're generating nearly £800 million of EBITDA, we should be able to convert more of that to cash to pay down the debt.
Yep.
And we'll talk more specifically about targets for 2010, probably in 2010-11, probably in March or May. But I think, you know, basically the board was comfortable with the plans to reduce the debt levels. We do see opportunity to get those levels down significantly in the next couple of years, and that was the main focus of that process. And, you know, we'll talk in more detail about that in March.
Great. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Paul Hickman of KBC Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I've got two questions. First of all, on UK bus, the like-for-like of 0.7% positive, that seems to be a bit of a reduction compared with 2.4% in the first half, although I see that you're reiterating the 1 to 2% guidance for the second half. Could you talk around that a little bit? Any particular reason for the dip just now?
Well, I think, you know, we've basically, first of all, let me just say that we haven't changed our outlook from November. It's things are very quite stable. But we have seen some reductions in demand, and I think the third quarter was probably the low point of that. I think if you look towards the fourth quarter and try to back into 1% to 2%, you'll see the fourth quarter broadly probably showing a little sign of improvement or at least stable. There's no more decline in the system. We feel comfortable about that. So that hasn't changed since November, and we feel pretty comfortable about it. So UK bus, we're not chasing growth at the moment. We've been focusing on maintaining our margin. We've been focusing on actually taking mileage out. And as I mentioned, we've taken about 5% in the recent quarters of our mileage out of the system to make sure that we can match the demand and our the capacity in the system, and that along with the cost reduction programs means that we should see an improvement in margins in the second half, certainly versus the first half.
Yeah. Thank you. And the other one was about Fast Capital Connect, and the wonder if you're able to quantify the financial impact of the PPM shortfalls there.
Well, we've been working pretty closely with the DFT since the disruption started, and we've been agreeing the planned cancellations to ensure that we're not in breach, for example, with the franchise agreement.
Yeah, we put in place a reduced timetable in December.
Yeah, so the reduced timetable we've been operating to, but clearly we haven't, that the industrial action combined with the weather effect has meant that the PPMs have been pretty awful, down to sort of 70% levels. Now, I'm optimistic that based on the results of the ballot that we got yesterday, that we should be returning to more normal levels on First Capital Connect fairly shortly. And I think we need to just, you know, put this behind us and get the system up and running to the levels that we expect. We have had some other issues in terms of weather-related damage to the fleet, some components which have failed, which are not substantial, but in themselves, but has meant that the engineers have been working around the clock to repair that, not with a huge cost, but again, that is by and large underway now, and we do feel that the levels will get back to normal levels. The rest of the network is running. The rest of the operating companies are all running at around or above 90%, and we should be back at those levels fairly shortly.
Well, that's reassuring, but there must have been a one-off impact from the PPM shortfall and also the other issues you mentioned.
It's not significant, no.
Very good.
Financially, the impact hasn't been a significant impact.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question comes from Gerald Koo of Arbuthnot Securities. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. A couple of questions. Firstly, in UK bus, looking ahead to next year, what are your thoughts with regard to what you might do to mileage? It sounds like if Q4 demand is stabilising, you might not take more out, and therefore what implication does that have for CapEx? And secondly, going back to North America, if wages are slightly higher than you expect this year with where unemployment is, what do you think the outlook is going into next year? Do you think you're going to have more problems keeping wages down?
Well, let's start with bus first. I think, you know, what we've been able to demonstrate both in UK bus and in Greyhound, that quick action to match the capacity with demand is something which does pay dividends in these areas, and that helps to protect our margin in tougher economic times. And I think we'll continue to do that next year. If we see the demand is flat or starting to get better, we can quickly put mileage back in. That in itself won't have significant impacts in our capital expenditure plans. The capital expenditure plans are developed over a sort of longer-term expectation of maintaining an average bus life and an average age of the fleet and replacing the fleet over a much longer term. So that short-term flexing of the capacity to match demand won't have a significant impact on CapEx. In terms of wages in North America, look, it's a continual process. It's what a lot of businesses deal with year in, year out, managing the cost base and making sure that we manage it efficiently and match the costs with our ability to maintain margins. And that's not a new challenge. It's something, you know, we will face every year. And we just need to make sure that we, we manage that efficiently.
Okay, so just to follow up on UK bus and CapEx, it was my understanding that you have shrunk the fleet this year, and therefore that you've had a reduction in CapEx as a result. Or have I misunderstood that?
Well, CapEx is down a little bit. I mean, this year we've not bought the same number of buses as we bought in the previous 2 years.
Cleared out at the end.
Yeah, and we obviously, because we've been reducing reducing mileage, we've been able to clear out some of the older buses in the fleet. But if we're putting 3 or 4 or 5% of that capacity back, we have that flexibility in the current fleet. Now, the CapEx plans, as I said, are determined over longer-term plans, and you know, this next financial year, I expect UK Bus will be spending a bit more on CapEx, but it won't be up to the sort of levels of 500-600 buses per annum, which we had in 2007 and 2008, I believe.
Right, okay, thanks very much.
Our next question comes from Roger Elliott of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Jeff and Rachel. I've got three short questions on Greyhound. Firstly, about the revenue improvement in 3Q. Could you just comment on basically whether it was volume, yield per seat, or both? Secondly, what forward bookings are looking like? And thirdly, if you reach agreement with the Canadian provinces for financial compensation, or you elect to cut mileage, how material is that to the EBIT contribution from Greyhound going forward?
Well, let me deal with them in reverse order. Canada is not our most profitable division in terms of Greyhound.
Uh-oh.
and we need Canada needs a lot of work to get up to US standards. And we hadn't over the history of Greyhound made much progress with the Canadian provinces at all. We put a lot of effort, and the Greyhound management team have put a lot of effort in over the last 9 months, at least, talking to the provinces, talking to the national government in Canada, really putting the case that you know we are not able to subsidize this public service in some of these states to the level that we have been. We need to have more of a partnership where they understand and allow us the flexibility. And we've made some good progress. We've made some good progress in most of the provinces, which have allowed us either to reduce mileage or to get a sort of financial subsidy to allow us to continue with the routes that we're being asked to continue with. Now, obviously, it's a relatively small part of Greyhound. I'm trying to think what the revenue percentage is of Canada as a percentage of the total business. I imagine I'm just looking at the numbers in terms of revenues. Just bear with me a second.
Okay.
It's probably about 20% of the Greyhound business, 20-25% of Greyhound business. So clearly, if that's underperforming in terms of margins, fixing that is important. So it is important to Greyhound. But it's not hugely material to the North American business.
Right.
In terms of Q3, Q3, the total revenue performance was still 11% down versus last year. Now passenger revenue. Now in the U.S., if we just focus on the U.S., the U.S. was 9% down.
Yeah.
That 9%. Was basically we did see positive yields, so we are seeing positive revenue per mile in the U.S. in quarter three. So that implies that volume is still down, quite significantly, but it's coming back.
Yeah.
But yield is positive, and I expect Canadian yields to be positive in the fourth quarter. They're developing that way, and they're starting to be slightly positive. In terms of expectations, in terms of forward bookings, we don't. It's not like a low cost airline. Most of the business is still walk up. I think we do get
some AP,
some advanced booking activity. It's in the region of 15%, something like that. So it's not hugely indicative in terms of giving expectations or trends. But look, all I could say is since I've joined this business, I've been here now 3-4 months, the Canadian sales forecasting the Greyhound sales forecasting has proved to be a pretty robust process. I certainly, in my first week, was a little bit skeptical. But they've shown that they have a very good handle on their business. I'm confident in the fourth quarter they'll be trading in line or if not ahead of last year, which from the 20% down that we had in the summer, 20% plus down than we had in the summer is a good performance.
So overall, you'd still say you're on track for a material pickup in the profitability in fiscal 2011.
Yeah, I think operating margins in fiscal 2011 we should expect to return to where they were, closer to where they were in 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next question comes from Damian Brewer of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thanks for taking the question. Sort of couple to three sort of related. First of all, can you just be a little bit more specific about what you mean by bidding aggressively in the current bid season for school bus contracts? Are you bidding on the basis of price or volume or quality metrics or exactly what way do you mean by aggressive? And then secondly, as a follow-on from that, obviously if you're bidding aggressively in one means or another and you're taking on new contracts, does that have any implications for the sort of kind of CapEx levels we should be pasting in for 2010-2011 in the North American business? And then very finally, and sort of related, if you're facing these kind of pressures, and albeit it looks like you're still on track to deliver some relatively solid numbers, what's happening with the smaller competition? Is there any scope for M&A within the space, particularly on the smaller, medium-sized companies? And how do you view that opportunity versus the commitment to pay the 10% dividend growth?
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm aware of using the word aggressively with you guys. It's always a bit of a flag. No. All I mean by that is we have the clear market leader, and where we see opportunities to get new contracts, we are participating with a very clear mandate. Now, the team is very disciplined and understand the financial hurdle rates that we have to meet on new contracts. And we've put in some very clear parameters in terms of expectations of margin and return on capital. So, you know, bidding aggressively within the guidelines and within the financial disciplines that we've set. And all I mean to indicate from that is it's not the growth in terms of new contracts has not gone away. We still see the opportunity to bring in new contracts. The growth that we've seen disappear this year has been more the organic growth and the growth from those supplementary areas. And what that means is, as we get new contracts, and obviously there may well be capital involved, and it depends on how we're bidding in terms of whether we're bidding with new buses or with used buses. But capital expenditure in North America will increase next year, and we have made sure in our plans there's an element of capital expenditure to allow us to gain new business. But that's all been done within the context of a balanced view for next year, which addresses the issues of debt and addresses the issues of growth. So the same with M&A. I mean, yeah, we will leave some funds flexible to do some small school bus operations if we see attractive operations. But the key focus is obviously reducing debt next year, and it won't be focused on significant M&A. The key focus is on bringing the debt levels down. And we've talked about getting the debt levels down to, you know, levels of just over 2x net debt to EBITDA, so on multiple levels.
Okay. And the 10% dividend growth, I mean, given you're now more than half life on most of the rail contracts, is that still something you're committed to?
Well, the 10% was something which the company committed to for 3 years. This is the third year of that growth, and therefore, again, one of the key points that we've discussed with the board is where we should go after
the fourth year.
Sorry, so Rachel's just correcting me. It was a 4-year commitment, and this is the fourth year. And that's something the board will discuss, but it'll discuss it, you know, later on in this year as to where we go after this year. So we're committed to the 10% growth this financial year. Beyond that, you know, we have discretion to vary that, and the board will take that decision. It obviously was part of the recommendations we put together in December, but the board will take that decision closer towards the new year. Now, the board's well aware of the importance of the dividend to many of our shareholders, so I don't think it'll be a dramatic decision, but they'll certainly review that as we look to the next financial year.
Okay, and could I ask just one cheeky follow-on? Obviously, your first group is a broad range of different businesses with different capital requirements, capital intensities, and returns. In your first few months in the group, have you seen any scope to change the emphasis of where capital is deployed in the group and therefore improve the potential for future cash generation to meet that dividend and to obviously generate the growth that sustains the earnings as well?
I wouldn't say huge changes in where the capital is deployed. I do think there's been opportunities to improve our disciplines of how we deploy capital, make sure that we review the hurdle rates and that we set a fairly high bar for each of our businesses. And I don't want to get into the specific areas where I feel we've employed a lot of capital which have been making lower returns, but there are areas where I think we've probably overinvested. And there's areas which I think have deserved a bit more investment. And what I'm trying to bring is just a little bit more a little bit more of a disciplined approach, that we apply the right hurdle rates to each of our businesses to maximize shareholder returns. So, you know, I don't think it's anything dramatic, but I do think there's opportunities to improve those disciplines and get the deployment of capital more properly balanced or better balanced going forward without being too specific about specific areas.
Okay, thanks very much. That's very clear.
Are there any further questions? A reminder again, you can press 01 on your telephone keypads to ask a question or 02 to cancel. And we have a question now from Joel Kopp-Barton of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah, it was really just on U.S. school bus. Wondered if you could talk a bit about outsourcing, if there's been any particular change recently or as was. I also wondered what proportion of your school bus revenues are coming up for renewal in this bidding season. And the last bit was just on the, you said 0.7% underlying growth in the contract business. Can you break that out, that number, into transit and school bus? Cheers.
Yeah. Most of the growth of that 0.7 is come for transit. So the transit is growing slightly ahead of last year. Student is just slightly down on last year. But it's fairly marginal. They're both broadly flat. And we mentioned a few new transit wins in the release. So, you know, transit's doing slightly better and is actually performing reasonably well. In terms of the move from the public sector, we haven't seen any change in that. I mean, obviously, the school year runs September to September. This year is now totally bedded in. It's fixed, and it's too early really to comment on the new year starting September 10. We are, as we've said in the past, we do see in each bidding season we see a lot of interest from public run boards. Converting them is the challenge, but there's no real update on that from November. I guess the best time to talk about that will probably be in May, when we've had a clearer view of how this year's bidding season has gone and if we've won any significant conversions. In terms of the percentage of renewals, I don't have a number. I think it's probably aligned with last year.
It's always about sort of 20-ish percent, isn't it, thereabouts, because we don't have any reliance. We've got 1,600 different contracts, no reliance on any few big ones. It's always about the same sort of level, isn't it, every year?
And, you know, I know, talking to the commercial team in student in North America, that, you know, they're optimistic about how they expect this year to go. I don't see any reason to be flagging that our retention rates will be any different from prior years. And, you know, we're quietly optimistic that we can win some contracts off weaker competition.
Okay, cheers. Can I ask also quickly on pensions? Obviously, you've had a chance to look at the, you know, pension position across the various divisions. You know, should we expect kind of a step up in the kind of P&L and cash contribution going forward?
Well, there will be, yeah. I mean, it's for next year, the P&L and the cash contribution will be up in the, you know, 10 to 20 million sort of pound range. I don't think we're unique in that situation. I think a lot of companies are facing that. We are reviewing it. We're going through a review process at the moment to understand what further actions we can be taken to make sure that we manage that and minimize the exposure. But we do expect to see an increase, which is largely driven by the change in the discount rate. I mean, it's... we're at record sort of lows in terms of the discount rate, which obviously has an impact on liabilities. But that does mean there'll be a pension cost to absorb next year. And, you know, that's one of the challenges that we face in a huge mix as we set budgets and targets for next year.
Okay, and that 10 to 20 million is across the group, is it?
It's probably more the biggest percentage of it is probably focused on UK bus.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Joe Thomas of Investec. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I was just hoping you could, well, one of the questions has been answered now, but I was hoping you could also help me or help us to disaggregate the contract profit movements a little bit better. You're talking about US dollar margins being flat year on year. Can you just remind me how much of cost savings you're expecting to come through in 2010 versus 2009, be that through either A, synergy, or B, the additional cost savings that were introduced last year?
Yeah, the cost savings on the contract business that we were talking about are relative to the size of the business are quite relatively modest. And I think at the half year we flagged about £40 million of cost reductions that should be coming through from the North American contract business. This was lower than the UK bus and rail, and the reason for that is obviously that group has been through some fairly significant synergy savings and consolidations over the last 2 years. Synergies were all pretty much annualized by this current financial year. So this was on top of what we'd achieved. So the $40 million was a fairly modest figure for North America relative to the size and relative to the other businesses, and they've certainly achieved that. In terms of the fact that margins are not improving is really related to the fact they're not exceeding that. They had some stretch targets in there themselves, so they were hoping to exceed, and that's certainly where we're seeing a little bit underperformance in terms of reaching those stretch targets.
Sorry, can you just clarify? I thought there was. I know that you'd reached the annualized synergy targets by the end of March 2009, but I thought that they would sort of annualize out into a higher number this year than they did than they did last year.
I think the majority of the synergy targets came through last year. I'm not sure if there was a. I know in Greyhound, for example, we're seeing some additional. Because Greyhound was running behind the process, we're seeing additional synergies come through this year in terms of Greyhound.
The contract businesses were integrated early on.
The contract particularly was integrated fairly early in the process, and pretty much last year's synergies were fully annualized, I believe. I'll look into that and check that and get back to you if I find that's different.
Okay, thanks. And the $40 million, you said that applied to North America. Did you mean that applied entirely to contract or?
Yeah, contract.
Yeah, okay.
Greyhound had its own target of just over $30 million, and Greyhound is doing well against those targets. I think there was more to go through for on Greyhound because of the fact that it had not been integrated as fully as the contract business had in the early stages, for obvious reasons.
Okay, thank you. I suppose you a similar sort of response to the last question, but I'll try anyway. There's obviously been a lot of noise about school bus contracts being changed in nature with maximum walking distances being increased and so on in the U.S., any indication from the school boards about what they're thinking about that might be for the next school year?
I'll give you my best response on that. My understanding is that a lot of those changes that were being proposed in September for the new school year actually met with such outcry from the parents that a lot of the initial feeling most of those were rolled back as we started up the contracts. So school boards made an attempt in some regions, as you said, to consolidate routes or to make the walking distances further. But actually, most of that was met with quite a lot of parental disapproval, and we found that we were then being asked, having been given an original plan, we were then being asked to put more capacity back in to go back to previous expectations. So year on year, I don't think we've seen a huge change. What we haven't seen is any growth, i.e. school boards saying we'll improve the network and make the distances shorter or we'll add routes. And I think as we look to the next school year, I expect that to be pretty much status quo as well. So the key areas where we are seeing reductions remain the areas of charter and school trips and supplementary sort of trips for school kids where there's been significant cutbacks.
Okay, thanks very much.
Are there any further questions? A reminder again, if you want to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. And we have no further questions. Jeff, would you like to make your closing comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to summarise. I think it's fairly straightforward. You know, we remain on track in terms of cash, in terms of earnings. We remain focused on the key tasks that were at hand in terms of managing costs and managing cash. And we'll continue to focus in that area over the next, certainly over the next few months. And we'll talk to you again shortly. So thank you very much for everyone.
This concludes our call. Thank you for attending.